together for good to those who love God. For to those who are called to His purpose, according to the Word of God. For He whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those He chose, He also called to be justified and be glorified. Children of God.
Someday you'll hear God's final call to you, to take His offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew. God's final call, God's final call. If you reject God's final call of grace, you'll have no chance your footsteps to retrace.
All hope will then be gone, and doom you'll face.
Bibles to John chapter 14. We're in the midst of our series here on actually experiencing the Holy Spirit. And that is such a thrilling thing that we need to know and to put into practice and to enjoy. And that is something that is very, very important. Now, we've come, just number one, He came. He is here. Is that right? He lives with you. You and He lives in you. If you're saved, you've got Jesus living in you. He came, and then He comforts. I trust you. Let Him comfort you. He wants to guide you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. Is that right? If you will just let Him, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, let the peace of God, is that right? You just grab that Bible, read it, believe it, receive comfort. And then He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. It is His job to convict the sinful world that they need to be saved. It's His job. It's your job just to confront them, just to tell them. It's His job to convict them. Isn't it great to know that He's at work when you're trying to help somebody, witness somebody, share with somebody, care for somebody? He's talking to them. They can reject you, but they can't reject Him. He's the convictor. And then last Sunday, my favorite one, He consumes. He consumes. Put the next slide up. He consumes. It is something in the bottom there. It says, He fully consumes me. I got all of Him. So I can be fully consumed with Him. As I talked last week, consumed with truths and consumed with obedience, consumed with fruitfulness, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. All of that is just coming out. The fruit of the Spirit is you got it inside of you, and it gives you peace. It gives you joy. It's your response to things that happen. You love them. You're at peace. You're joy, long-suffering. You have patience. You have an endurance. The Holy Spirit just coming out of you. The fruit of the Spirit should just be natural. Is that right? It should be coming out. The Spirit just coming out of you. Your attitudes. And then joyfulness. And this verse here is great. Coming out of Ecclesiastes. This is Amplified 5:20. For He will not often consider the troubled days of his life. This guy's having all kinds of vanity, vanity, all his vanity. Because he's having all kinds of troubles. Why doesn't that bother him? Because God, I love this. Because God keeps him occupied. There he's totally consumed. And focused on the joy of his heart and the tranquility of God indwelling him. That's what we got. The Bible just coming alive and you're consumed with it. Did you try to be consumed with that more this week? I trust you did. I can't do it, as I said last week. But God will help me. And if I realize I forgot it last hour, I didn't think about God for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, I can always go back. I can, I'm all cut up in my work. I'm all cut up in the house, and I'm all cut up in my job or whatever, sports or whatever. Then I can go back. I can revive my being consumed with Him 20, 30 times a day and have revival. That's just revival. Just getting back focused on Him. Thinking about Him, talking about Him, praying to Him, just being consumed with Him, because we have all of Him. Now He needs all of us. You can't get a next step unless you're working on this step. Hear me? No purpose in me going to the next step without this one, because this one, I got to fight for this one. I got to deny myself, take up my cross daily, and follow Jesus. Got to do that 10 or 20 or 30 times a day, and I got to be. I want to be consumed by Him. I want to have my thinking on Him, my talk on Him, my response, everything. I just thinking about Him, walking, talking with Him. I'm consumed with Jesus. And He's my truth, my obedience, my fruits, my joy. He's everything. You got to fight for that. If you're not fighting to be consumed and focused on Him, my next point this morning, the sermon this morning, you won't experience it at all. So you got to be at this place where, preacher, I'm committed. I'm a believer. And yes, I get distracted. Yes, I forget it sometimes. But by and large, I'm looking to Jesus 10, 15 times a day and thinking about Him and walking and talking with Him and trying to obey Him and have joy. And I'm working on it. Yes, I lose it all the time, but I go find it. I go find it. And that's being consumed with Him. I know that's very, very important to understand that and to realize, thank you. Then the issue today is being called. Let's all go to John 14, 10 to 20. He calls us, He empowers us, He uses us, He gifts us, each believer, catch this right here, to live, to daily experience the Holy Spirit encouraging and blessing people by them expressing their faith by what they say and do. The gifts of the Spirit is all you're speaking truth to people or you're doing things to help people. Okay? Today we have much more time to do that because we can do it by Facebook. We can do it by texting. We can do it by, I don't know what the others are. I don't even know what text. Yeah, I know. Facebook out there. But can you bless people by Facebook today? Yes, you can. Now you can mess everybody up too, but you can bless by tweet. Is it tweeting? Tweet. Whatever. There are so many electronics way of doing it, is there? And it's amazing, and we can use that. You can just bless. I'm praying for you. Is that right? Immediately. Boom, 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 boom. You can, the old way is email, you know. Yeah. But there's so many new things. Instant. Is that right? Boom, boom. You can have 100 people praying for you in a minute. Is that right? And we have it. You should be able to be used of God just all day long. It should just be you're consumed with Him, and it's just flowing to other people. That's all this part is. John chapter 14. Wayne, come and read it for us, please.
If you're reading out of the Red Pew Bibles, it's on page 794. We're going to read John chapter 14, verses 10 through 20. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Amen.
Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Amen. Now, we've been reading this text, these three chapters, John 14, 15, and 16, for the last 5 weeks. I trust you keep reading them. They are the Holy Spirit doctrine passages, and keep reading them. And it's mind-blowing that Jesus is the Holy Spirit living in us. We've got Jesus and the Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in us. And He wants to flow out of us. And that's where we're at today. He wants to consume us and be consumed, and we be consumed by His presence and the fruit of the Spirit just flowing in us, and it's wonderful. Now we want to get it out of us, and that is so important. In our first talk here is that He empowers us, and it's amazing what He has and what He is, and it is great to catch that. John 14, verse 10. Let's just start right there. John 14, verse 10, it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father?" Come on. My Father and I are what? One, okay? And the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. He made that. He gave us an example. We're not to speak our words. We're to speak His words, okay? And it says, "They're not mine, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." Now, that's the word I'm working on today, is works. Verse 11, "Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me," repeats Himself, because you got to get it in your heads, "or else believe me for the very works." You know, I've healed the sick, I've raised the dead, I've made statements, and the people following me, and people being changed, and I'm seeing people with demons being driven out, and He says, just look what I've done. If you're not going to believe my words, look what I've done. And He says, I'm God. And He said, that's what it's all about. Chapter 15, verse 16. He calls us. And it says this, He calls us here. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen" who? You. We're chosen. I want Mike Fisher on my team. You know, on Tuesday night we choose up for basketball, and when I was always playing, nobody ever chose me till last. You know, it's wonderful to be chosen first. You know, I want you. Wow, I'm saying. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, should live." And He says, "I want you on my team." He's called us. Secondly, He empowers us. He empowers us. In John 14:6, look at it. John 14:6. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, one just like me, Paraclete, just like me, that he may abide with you. How long? Forever. Wow. Chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They don't understand it. They don't see it. They don't get it because they're lost. They do not have the Holy Spirit. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Here it is. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be what? In you. I hope you know that. Preacher, I have a hard time with that one. Maybe you're not saved. Because that's something when you read the Bible, God talks to you. When you pray, you hear from heaven. When you're doing something, it'll pop in your mind. Go help that person. Go do something kind to that person. Go say something to that person. Go put your arm around that person. Care for that person. God's moving in, and then the right people coming at the right time into your life. I just love it when that happens. It doesn't happen every day, but I love it when I'm at the right place, the right time, and something happens and I'm supposed to be there. I'm sitting there going, wow, this is plumb cool. The God of heaven. I walked in the office yesterday, and something, I won't give you any details, but at the exact time I walked in, it's the exact time I needed to do something. And it all happened right there. And it was, I sitting there, wow, this is so cool that just little old me gets the God of heaven to make this thing all happen. It was neat. It was neat. He empowers us. Secondly, or thirdly, he uses us. Verse chapter 14, verse 12. Now, you got to understand this verse. Verily, verily. Chapter 14, verse 12. Everybody look at it. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, okay, the works, the healing, the miracles, the ministry, the truth, the things he did, that I do shall, what does it say? He do what? Are you going to do those works? Yes. Wow. You need to expect that to happen. You need to desire it. You need to want it. You need to pray for it. God, use me, use me, use me. The works that Jesus did, he changed the world. You're put in your world, and you may be the only Christian in your world. Is that right? So expect God to, you're going to do some of these works. You mean I'm going to see somebody and help them and it's going to change their life? Yes. You're going to see somebody struggling and you give them a word of comfort and it changes their lives. That's the miracle. That's what it's all about. He used Jesus to do that. He's going to use us to do it. You have to believe that. You got that gets you out of bed. And some of you need to get out of bed earlier. That's a joke. That's a joke. Okay. It says, the works that I shall do, all he shall do also. And catch this next phrase. And what's the next word? And greater works. Wow. Than these shall he do. Now you say, now what is this? You got to catch the next phrase to understand it. Because I go to my Father. Now I'm only one person here, and I've limited myself to humanity, Jesus said. So I'm not poofing in and out all over the place. I'm at one place, and it takes me a Sabbath day's journey to get to a place. You know what I'm saying? He didn't. He was just normal human being, but he was God. Now he says, I'm going to go to the Father. And since I go to the Father, I'm going to live in every one of you at the same time, all over the world. And he says, now you're going to be me doing all these things. You need to believe that when you go to work tomorrow, that God's going to be in you going to work. When you go to a ball game tomorrow night, that God's going to be in you. When you go to a family reunion, God's going to be in you. When you go to Martin's, God's going to be in you. Is that right? He says, I'm not here anymore, but you are. And as long as you live, I live also through you. And he says, I've done some great works. Now, because I'm going to go, you're going to do these works too. I'm going to do them through you. And since there's going to be all of you doing all the works of God all over the world, they're going to be greater. And he says, get excited because I am going to use you. I'm going to use you. Look at the next verse. He says, I'm going to use you. How is he going to use us? Verse chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye ask, this is prayer, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. You just need to start praying. Ask. Ye have not because ye, God, I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to the doctor's office, or I'm going to school. Now, God, use me. You know, help, let me to see somebody in need where I can care for them, help them, whatever. And maybe they need a word and I could speak a Bible verse to them or a truth to them. And it'll just change your life. It'll be you there speaking through me to them. And Lord, I'm asking. That's what's prayer. Chapter 14, verse 14. He repeats it. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I shall do it. And then chapter 15, verse 7 says the same thing, but clarifies everything. Chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, you stay close to me, obey me, love me, enjoy me, walk with me, be consumed by me, and my words consume you. If you're in your Bible all the time, are you going to be praying right? Yeah. Or, you know, you're going to be praying selfishly because you're abiding in Him and His Word's abiding in you, and thus you're going to be praying right. And He's not saying, well, you can ask any foolish thing you want. No, you're going to ask it according to His will and His Word and His way. Because you're abiding in Him and His Word's abiding in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Prayers should be wonderful. Preacher, I don't feel my prayers doing much. You need to abide in Him more and let His Word abide in you more, and you'll experience it. You need to be consumed by Him, and you'll understand what He's talking about. Then the love of one another. Be selfless in your love. Chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment. I'm all over the place, aren't I? Chapter 15, verse 12. My dyslexic's going all over the place. This is my commandment, that ye do what? Love one another as I have loved you. Chapter 15, verse 17, same thing. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Chapter 15, verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. If you will be selfless in your caring and your giving and your helping and your serving, is that right? You will experience. You're living for others. You're not living for yourself. Our whole world lives for themselves. We should live for others. And he says, once you do that, that's how he uses you. He's going to use you in your prayer life. He's going to use you in your selfless loving of others, obeying, loving of others. And it is wonderful to catch that and realize this is what it's all about. And then lastly, the gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. Much confusion about the gifts. Chapter 15, verse 9 is the only verse I have here on the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 15, verse 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And then it says, continue in my love. Use my love. Let it come alive in your life. And the gifts of the Spirit are so important that we understand these, and God uses these gifts to empower us and to lead us into so many areas of our lives. I don't want to leave this screen right here, so let's read it one more time. He calls, He empowers, He uses us, He gifts us. Why? Each believer to daily experience the Holy Spirit encouraging and blessing people by you expressing your faith by what you say and do. Okay? That's what you should be living. You're consumed with Him, and then it's coming out of you by what you say and do. You're expressing your faith, and you're trying to build their faith. That's all the spiritual gifts are. And it's amazing there. Okay, let's go to the spiritual gifts. Next slide. I want you to start reading this. This is a compilation of a paper I've been reading from John Piper on spiritual gifts. I sent a little copy of it to everybody by email yesterday. If you didn't open up your email, do that. It's excellent. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking about this on Wednesday night. You got to be here on Wednesday night to understand the spiritual gifts. We're going to walk slowly through the spiritual gifts and understand them very, very importantly. But this morning, I'm going to run quickly through them. I have these slides on a paper back there. It's called notes from handout from this morning. If you'd like to get these, all of these notes from here on are on this paper so you can have them. The spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts, let's just read it there. A spiritual gift is a natural ability. Wow. Let me tell you, do we have natural abilities? Did God make each of us differently in our personalities? Huh? Yeah, we're all differently. You know, there are some people in our room that can talk to a telephone pole for 25 minutes. There are some people in our room that would rather stay in their house by themselves reading a book for 4 or 5 days. We're different. We're different. We're going to minister to different people. Some of us are very, we can change gears very quickly. I can change gears very quickly. Some of us can't do that at all, okay? We have different personalities. We have different talents. Some of us have more brains than others, you know. I don't have many, okay? Some of us remember everything. Some of us remember nothing. Is that true? You know, we're different. We're different. God uses those abilities. Some of us are better with our hands than others. Is that true? Some of us are better with our hands. The spiritual gifts, there are two categories mainly of spiritual gifts, speaking and serving. Speaking, serving. And you probably will major on one or the other, you know. If you don't have any abilities, somewhere you had to be trained to know how to work on a car or to use tools to build a house. Is that true? Somewhere you had to get those training. And if you haven't gotten those, you can see somebody needing help building a house, but if you don't know how to do it, you just can't do it, okay? You know, you can pray for all the spiritual gifts you want, but you got to have some training. So there is some natural ability, what God gave you. Now let me state this. If you have a talent, maybe you are good with computers, but if you don't give that to God and it be a faith thing, it's your faith blessing other people's faith, it's not a spiritual gift at all. It's just a talent. I was talking to a man yesterday. Our Trail Life is here, and we have a lot of men here for the Trail Life time. And I sat down with one of them, and I said, "What do you do?" He doesn't attend our church, another man. He said, I am a master chef. I said, "Wow, could I take you home?" He said, "I am a master chef." And he says, "God has given me the ability to do this." Wow. And he says, "I get to make things that bless people, and this is my gift from God." I said, "Chocolate cake." You know, that he viewed his ability as a gift from God. Huh? Yeah. Now, do you get blessed when the chef cooks something good for you? Yeah. And if he had a restaurant where he could come out and talk to him, "I'm the chef. Oh, we love you." And he could say, "I do this because Jesus gave me this ability." That'd be a spiritual gift. He's taken his faith and he's given it to other people. And he's using his ability, okay? So it's a natural ability, it can be, or a ministry skill given, used, empowered by the Holy Spirit to express, now think of all these words, these are from John Piper, to express our faith effectively in word or deed, those are two main categories, spiritual gifts, for the strengthening of someone else's faith. So it's all about faith. faith. Is that right? It's all about faith. It's your faith, and you're trying to encourage somebody else's faith or to give them faith to an unsaved person. Okay? So it's all about faith, and it's you just using what you know to do and you have burden for. Some people are more compassionate on homeless people than others. When you see a homeless person begging at the street corner over at Grape Road, they sit there all the time. How many of you have compassion on that person and would want to give them something? Or how many of you would say, get a job? I'm of the persuasion, I'd hot roll my window down and say, get a job! Because I've dealt with many of them, and you say, let me give you some work. And the guy goes, no, I don't work. And I say, well, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay? But some people have great compassion on them. And no two of us would be the same. So one could have a spiritual ministry to that person, and others are just cursing, you know, get a job, and have no compassion. And so we're different. And we have faith, but so it's a. I want you to catch this. A spiritual gift is a natural ability or ministry skill given, used, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively in word and deed for the strengthening of someone else's faith. Now, if you want to write down these two passages, we're going to use those in 2 weeks. Romans 1 and 1 Peter 4 are the great two passages. The reason we have spiritual gifts, catch this, is so we can strengthen other people's faith. That's the purpose of them. That's the purpose of you caring for somebody, you helping somebody, you speaking to somebody. The purpose of this is you want to strengthen their faith. When you see someone spiritually struggling or physically needing help, those are the two areas. They need a word from God. They need encouragement. They need somebody to pray for them. They just need somebody to hug them, or their water in their basement is 4 feet and they need somebody to help them. Is that right? There's a need, okay? And you do that. You come to them, okay? You see that need. It's very simple. They're struggling spiritually, or there's a physical need, okay? You're to pray this prayer. I love this. Don't go too quick here. It says, pray in your soul. When you see this, when you see somebody in need spiritually or physically, and you're moved by the Holy Spirit to help them to do something, this is what you're to pray. Put the next slide up. Everybody look at this. It's very good. Lord, how can I minister or be a blessing to them? You should be praying that prayer a lot. You're seeing somebody at Martin's, and they're struggling, and you say, Lord, how can I help them? How can I help them? Can I come over and push their buggy? Can I do something for them? Can I care for them some way? This person is struggling, and I could go over and pray with them, okay? If it's a spiritual thing. If it's a physical thing, just don't pray for them. You got to help them, okay? But how can, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm seeing this need. I'm having compassion on this need. The Holy Spirit is leading me to help them or to say something to them. How can I help them? You pray. Okay. After you pray, here's what you do. Then do or say what you feel the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. And don't second guess His clear leading. Do we do that a lot? I'm not quite sure. One time we were in a store, and a guy fell and hit his head on one of the cabinets in the store, and he was bleeding and laying on the floor. And I was sitting there, and I said, wow, I don't have nothing to clean it up with. And I said to one of the store workers, we need to get some towels here and clean this man up and help him. Not a one of them would move because of what? Blood. They were all scared of blood. We should be notable of that. I bent down, helped him, cleaned him up, set him up. None of them, they're afraid of a lawsuit. Is that right? Everything. I understand all that. Somebody's got to care. And this man's in need, and it happens right in front of you. You're not going to have a hard time observing spiritual gifts because it will happen right in front of you. Is that right? And you'll know it. you'll know it. You'll have your hand on $5 and you'll see a person that needs $5. What you gonna do? Something's gonna happen, you know. And God's pricking you, going, give that $5 to that person. Don't want to. Yeah. You know, or somebody's hurt, somebody dropped something. Pick it up and give it to them. Is that right? Hey, buddy, you missed it here. Oh, thank you. Does that bless people? Yeah. And if you can put, you know, put a Jesus line in or something, isn't this a great day the Lord's blessed us with? Put a Jesus word in it. Just add, you know, try, because it's spiritual, it's faith. We're giving our faith to them. Why did you do that? I dropped a $10 bill and you could have kept it and you didn't. You hollered at me and gave it to me. Because I know Jesus. Is that right? He's my Lord. I'm consumed with Him. And He takes care of me. So I'm to bless you. And that's what it's all about, to say that. Okay, let's keep going. It says, take action and humbly do it. Very important. And if the person is spiritually encouraged or blessed, now catch this right here, then you just experienced the Holy Spirit spiritually gifting you to strengthen that person's faith. Okay? He's working through you. He gave you the opportunity. Is that right? Right in front of your face. And you was not selfish and you met it. Okay? I love this next part. Here it is. Real simple. When God uses you in that way a lot, you have humbly discovered one of your spiritual gifts. You know, God uses me to help people. You know, I get to help people fix this, fix that, fix this. You understand what your spiritual gift is? Helping people. You know, I've been involved in situations where people need prayer and I just pray for them or I give them a word of the Bible, give them a Bible verse. God's using you to speak. Is that right? He's using you. Do you know this? If you'll study your Bible real good, you'll notice that the gift of preaching and teaching will open up to you. If you don't study your Bible, you'll notice that it won't. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. If you want to be used of God, just read your Bible, study your Bible, and God will open it up. You read a Bible, and somebody will say something, verse will pop in your mind. Now, don't be obnoxious, but you can just say, man, hey, let me share a Bible verse with you. And you say, well, what are you, some preacher? Well, I suppose, you know. That's how God uses you. And it is that simple. You'll start learning. If you'll start serving God and giving yourself away to people, you'll learn your spiritual gifts. Simple. It's not difficult. If you are earnestly seeking to be used by God, you will often experience the Holy Spirit gifting you at times. You're going to experience it. Put the next slide up. In most of the spiritual gifts listed in Romans 12, let's all turn to Romans chapter 12. It lists the spiritual gifts there. And if you'll, at times you'll experience this one and this one and this one. You'll be at some place where they need help. There'll be some place where they need care. There'll be somebody where they need encouragement. There'll be some place where they need some organization. And you do them every once in a while. You'll experience most of them, if not all of them. But one of them or two of them or three of them will be noticed that I do this more than this or this or this. That's where you understand God uses me more in this spiritual gift than this one. Okay? So in most of the spiritual gifts listed there, God will use you. When this happens, praise His name. Now everybody catch this. Praise His name and don't get hung up on knowing what your spiritual gifts are. Somebody asked me, what's my spiritual gift? I couldn't tell them. I was so glued. I was reading John MacArthur and they asked him what his spiritual gifts were and he says, I don't know. No place in the Bible where we told we're to figure them all out. We're just to serve. Is that right? We're to serve. Don't get hung up. Well, what's my spiritual gift? My spiritual gift is encouraging. So I'm just going to encourage. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm just going to encourage people. No. You know, don't get hung up on your spiritual gift, knowing your spiritual gift. Just rejoice every time that God uses you to bless somebody. Huh? God, use me today. Use me today. Here I go. Here I go. And as you grow in Christ, will He use you differently? Yeah. Yeah, so the spiritual gifts will change, and God will start using you more in this way than this way. And it is amazing what He'll do. The spiritual gifts listed here in Romans chapter 6-8. Look at them there. He gives you teaching the Bible, applying the Bible, helping people, giving to people, caring for people, encouraging people, organizing people to minister to people. Note it's all about people. Note it's all about truth. It's the things you say to them from God, from your faith, or things that you do them because of your faith, and it builds their faith. So it's all about faith, and it's very important to understand that. And God's involved in it. I trust that's simple. It's just simple. And you're just realizing, wow, I just need to get busy being selfless. I need to get busy in trying to bless people. And I need to read my Bible every day and pray every day and realize that I might be able to use this today, and I'm just going to go through life trying to help and care and give and encourage and organize and teach and apply. Is that right? Here we go, Jesus. Whatever you want. Let me read to you Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Okay? I'm going to read it to you in the New Living. And I want you to follow with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. 9-18. Remember, we're going to study this in 2 weeks on Wednesday night. I want you to know I believe Romans 12, 9-18 gives you an idea of how to express your spiritual gifts. Don't do this. He's already said, now these are the seven categories of the major spiritual gifts in verses 6-8, and then he kind of expounds on it in verse 9. Let's look at it. Verse 9. Chapter 12, Romans, verse 9. Everybody look at it. Whatever translation you have. Don't just pretend, verse 9, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. I love that. Come on, quit playing games. Hate what is wrong. That's the spiritual gift. Do it. Is there a time to say that's wrong to somebody? Yeah. Now make sure they know you love them, okay? But there's time to speak up. Hold tightly to what is good. Don't let it go. Verse 10, love each other with genuine affection. Wow. And take delight in honoring each other. Verse 11, I love this. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I love that verse. Is that pretty plain for spiritual gifts? Don't be lazy, work hard, bless people. Oh, that's hard. Well, get at it. And it says, and serve God enthusiastically. You know, God giving you the ability to do this, no matter how hard it is. Verse 12, rejoice in our confident hope, our hope of heaven. We be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. Verse 12, verse 13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Is that true? If somebody's in need, help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. You know, hospitality is something that is in the requirements of a bishop and a deacon in the Bible, in Timothy, that you be hospitable. Have we lost the art of hospitality today? We have. You know, we don't have people traveling through that needs a place to stay, and we see it all the time. I remember in my parents' day, me growing up, we had people stay in our house all the time. And you say, they'd be passing through, walking down the street, needing something. Mom opened the door and let them in. I'm sitting there going, I'm certain they're in my bed. I wasn't too hospitable at all, okay? But today we don't do that. And the other ways of being hospitable is being nice, offering them coffee, offering them stuff they need. We do that today. And you just be nice to people and meet their needs. In our culture, we have different needs. But just to be hospitable, it's commanded here. And it's clear here in verse 13. Verse 14, bless those who who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Wow, that's going to be hard. Verse 15, be happy with those that are happy and weep with those that are weep. Our church does that very good. Live in harmony with each other. Get along. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. I don't like those people. They smell, you know. And then it says, I love this one. Don't think you know it all. I like that one. Don't think you know it all. I love that translation. Verse 17, it says, never pay back evil more evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Verse 18, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. That's being filled with spirit. Here we go. I close. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 18 states that these actual spiritual gifts can look like in real life as God empowers believers. Here's why we have spiritual gifts: to express their faith, to edify and bless other believers in their faith and unbelievers to the faith by what they say and how they serve. And it is very simple to realize, thank you, God. Put the next slide up. This is so neat to catch this. This is the whole crux of the matter. John Piper said, this is the only thing we need to have. If every one of our church people, we would be the happiest and humblest people on the face of the earth. If you wake up every morning, is that right? And pray this prayer. Wake up every morning, jumped out of bed, ready to serve God. Here it is. Oh Lord, I desire with my entire being that you humbly and boldly open my mouth and my hands today to spiritually strengthen by my words and my acts of faith some of the everyday people in my life. Holy Spirit, let me experience you using, empowering, and gifting me to spiritually encourage and bless as many people as I can today. Thank you. In your strength, let's do it. Amen. Read that. Now, this is all printed back there. Get your copy. This is how we should get up every morning. God, use me. That's all it is. God, use me. I got to go to work for 8 hours. Use me. I got to go to school. I got to do this. I got to go shopping. Or I got to go be with a friend. Or I got to go to the doctor's office. Is that right? Use me. Here we go. Get engulfed with him and then get called. Is that right? Get consumed and called and comforted. It's so important. Hope you want that. Put the next slide up. Next slide up. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. Is that right? All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, and let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. Spiritual gifts, let them be simple. Just, God, use me today. God, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying. I'm letting the fruit of the Spirit flow through me and in me. And I'm my attitude. And Lord, now I got to help people. God, I'm going out in this world. I'm going to church today. Lord, use me. Help me to bless somebody. Help me to care for them, to help them, to pray for them, to encourage them, to apply the Bible. Lord, just help me. Here I go. Use me, God. I want to experience the Holy Spirit in my daily life. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Bowed, every eye closed. Where are you today in your spiritual walk? Preacher, I'm working on being consumed. I'm seeking that. Thus I can work on being used by God. Preacher, I needed this message today. Can I see your hands? I needed this message today. Amen. Take it. Be filled with the Spirit. Experience the simplicity of just empty of the flesh and full of the Spirit. Just the simplicity of God working through you. Just try to serve Him, speak for Him, and meet people's needs. Be observant. Study your Bible. Say, God, I'm going to let you consume me, and then I'm going to let you use me. Here we go. Let Him speak. Experience the Holy Spirit every day.